Welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday edition of The Grace Hour. The Grace Hour is a daily podcast that takes a dive into the believer's daily challenges and helps him or her learn about their faith in a more practical way. My name is Pastor John Love, and joining me in the studio today for our Thursday edition of our podcast is Pastor Schaller, who is the senior pastor here at the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore. And we're thrilled to have him in the studio today and thrilled to have you with us and joining us live on our podcast today. We do want to remind you that even though our format has changed to some extent, we still keep the phone lines open, and we would still love to hear from you, our listening audience. And to do that and to participate in the broadcast, which is quite simple, pick up a phone, dial one of the following numbers, and join us live with your comments, questions, perhaps a testimony as well. Here are the numbers, toll-free in all of North America. That's 800-338-7060. And the local number here in the Baltimore area. Friends, you could join us at 410-483-3700. And again, thanks so much for joining us today. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, and more. And of course, we want to mention that we'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. And that will wrap up this week's broadcasts and our theme, which the question, of course, is what is and how do we develop a Christian ethic? And today we're looking at these divine institutions. There are four of them in particular that we would like to touch upon, given the amount of time that we have for today's broadcast. They are the free will, marriage, the family, and the church. And of course, when you stop and think about each of these categories from a Christian perspective, from a divine perspective, all of these subjects, all of these institutions have come under a tremendous assault by the real spiritual enemy. That is, of course, the God of this world. He has targeted these areas, and his attempt, of course, is to destroy, again, the marriage, the family, the church, and to so distort a person's ability to choose that, again, this just would drag people down into the dust. And of course, God has an entirely different program for us, and that is to bring us out of the dust. Naturally speaking, our souls, they cleave to the dust, but we are quickened, and we have a different way of thinking, a different way of approaching life through the new birth, through the filling of the Holy Spirit. And each of these divine institutions mean so much to us. And that's why we're going to take a look at them today. And again, as I mentioned, Pastor Schaller is joining us in the studio. And Pastor Schaller, the first of these four divine institutions, of course, is the free will. And there is a verse that comes to mind from Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. And Moses, speaking to the children of Israel, said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your seed may live. And I share that verse because it really, the essence of it speaks of the free will. Yeah. It's our choice, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Maybe we should put it in context. I always have in my mind something mechanical, maybe you shot pool as a teenager and you know what a pool table is and the balls rolling and how they work, and they don't have free will. Like the balls that roll on the table and bounce off the cushions and hit each other, and they bounce, and all by laws of physics, force, spin, inertia, momentum, and so on. So if you thought about the universe like that it was only mechanical and only the consequence of these physical laws, then you could get an idea of like a world that would be very different from the world that we are in, where we say that he makes decisions contrary sometimes to physical laws or with physical laws. And this was what makes our world so interesting and so different. So free will is something we shouldn't take for granted. Understand that it's part of our nature, that we actually do make decisions and we do have choices on all levels. I mean, to get up in the morning, to go to work, to go to school, to say I love you, to say I hate you, to pray, not to pray, to believe in God, not to believe in God. This is a unique thing with human beings. We are actually creatures made in the image of God, and we have such a thing as free will. Now, theologically, the discussion goes deeper because we know that God is sovereign, and that's where you get, the whole question about, is this God's will? Did God do it, or did I do it? You know, what did God cause me to do it, or is the whole universe the consequences of his sovereignty? And we say it's a blend of both, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I decide, and yet, yes, is God leading me? Maybe. Is God affecting my decision? Yes, undoubtedly. And yet, he doesn't have anything to do with evil in regards to, like, evil decision making. He's not leading us or affecting us to make bad decisions or rebel against him. So what a great subject, free will. I do believe in our program we're also saying that these institutions, the free will being the first one, is a target for the enemy. And I think one of the things he does is to say you don't have free will. Or there isn't any such thing as free will, or you are the consequence of your environment. You can't make any decision. You don't have any choices. You are a victim. You are a victim of fatalism. It will be what it will be. But we can test that. We don't believe that. We believe that we actually have a lot to do with life.
Yeah. I'm thinking what Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he said in the sixth chapter, the seventh verse, don't be deceived. He says, God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he will of the flesh reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It sounds like choice to me.
Yes.
It sounds like, you know, you can go one way or you can go the other way. That choice is yours.
Yes.
And then, of course, there will be consequences either way. If we sow to the flesh, we'll reap the corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap a different harvest. So,
can you think, Pastor Love, of times in the Gospels where Jesus addressed free will?
Yeah, I think of when he would confront the religious leaders of his day, and he confronted them with the truth of who he was, or he taught in parables regarding spiritual truth. And they had a choice to either believe him or to reject him. And we know that there were some that believed on, let's, for instance, Nicodemus, when he was investigating who Christ was, he came to the conclusion that Jesus was indeed a man from God. He didn't understand completely and fully as to who he was, but he knew that there was something different about Jesus, and he exercised his free will and I think ultimately believed on him, whereas others made that decision to just flat out reject him.
Yes. Many times the famous verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. So there is a free will verse. It's a statement that you, and he's talking to everyone, is up to you. If you will believe, you will not perish. I also remember at one time when Jesus was willing to heal somebody, he said, what do you want? Do you want me to heal you? You know, what is your will? Would you heal me? And Jesus said, well, do you want me to? Do you know that portion?
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about that the other day myself. Almost, Jesus said, just the fact that he would ask them, like a man is crippled.
It's your call.
It's your call. A man is blind. Yeah. What is it that you want? You know, you could almost imagine him saying, well, isn't it obvious?
Yes.
But Jesus wanted to
hear.
Exact. And say, I want to hear from you what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, exercise your will.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's your call. Another verse, to as many as received him. And then how about, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, if you hear my voice and open the door. These are verses that tell us very clearly that maybe you grew up in a Muslim family and you might say, I don't have any choice. You know, I'm born into this family and this is the way it is and this is how I have no choice. And Jesus would say, yeah, you have. You have a choice. Or any other religion. This is one of the marks of our individuality, our particular design as people, is free will. And when you're in prison, you're arrested for a crime and you go to jail, they limit your free will. They limit your options and your choices. You can't leave the prison. You have to go with the program. You follow the line. So they take it away. In a way, they remove, but you still have the ability to relate to God. You still can believe and decide in your heart while in prison that but if you even take away the free will, now you are really in prison and you have nothing to change your life, nothing, no decision to make. And that's what, it seems to me that would be the devil's, he would love to produce that kind of world where you have no choice and you are locked in as a prisoner and you have no choice. Mm.
But it does seem very clear from the scriptures that decision, that free will, is front and center. And I think that maybe Calvary, what happened at Calvary, illustrates that beautifully, because you have Christ being crucified between two thieves, and one accepts him, and one rejects him.
Yes.
It's almost as if Calvary represents free volition.
It's
like, there you have it. It's free will. It's your choice. What will you do?
Yeah, it's very good.
And then you mentioned about, you know, if someone grows up in a Muslim home, a Muslim family, they say, well, I don't have a choice. You could say the same thing about people that grow up in this country in a particular denomination or religious background. And because I remember, you know, my precious mother saying to me, you know, you don't have a choice as to in terms of where you're going to church.
Yes.
But of course, when I became an adult, I said, yes, I do have a choice.
Yes, yes.
And I've read in the Bible that Jesus said, you must be born again. That's going to be my choice.
Yes.
But came with some trouble.
Some trouble, yeah. But actually, my hope is that people that are in those countries and in those places and cultures where they are told, you know, you don't choose who you marry, your parents will choose for you. Where you live, the government will choose for you. Your religion, that's already decided. So you don't have any. I can't help but think that people in those situations have a sense in their hearts that, yes, I have God. I can believe in God. That is my choice, and I can trust in God.
Amen.
Yeah, and not lean on my own understanding and excuse myself. I'm thinking of a communist country or other places where actually you can't leave the country, you can't get a passport, your options are limited. But I have made in the image of God the ability to look up in the sky, to relate to God, to think of God, to trust in God, and to pray to God.
Wow. So it really is that the first gift that we read about that God gave to man is the free volition, the free will.
Yeah.
And yeah. What a blessing it is to be able to have that and to exercise that. Friends, once again, we want to remind you, you can join us live and pick up that phone and weigh in with your thoughts. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. And the local number here in Baltimore, if you'd like to join us, 410-483-3700. The next of these four divine institutions, Pastor Schaller, is marriage. Once again, you know, the free volition, it starts with the free volition because we choose, and other, you know, others choose us, and we make that, we exercise the free volition and we enter into a relationship that, you know, God willing, will last a lifetime.
Yes.
And this particular institution is clearly under assault today in our culture.
Yes, yes, right.
Just defining it for some people is hard.
Yeah, let's go with the traditional view because it's easier to talk about and we can relate to that man and woman. And why? Because in the beginning in the Bible, God made man first, and man was relating to his environment because he gave names to the animals. This was before Eve was made. So he was intelligent, articulate. He could give names to animals. He was with God, brilliant, undoubtedly the first man made by God without sin at this point. So then the Lord is saying it's not good for man to be alone. And so he puts him to sleep and he takes out of his side a woman. Now this is... you know, needless to say, a fantastic thing. That man is relating to God, we could say, vertically. Though I believe Christ walked with Adam in the garden. It says the voice walked in the garden. And these are manifestations of God to Adam in the garden. And they had fellowship. And undoubtedly, God loved the fellowship with Adam. But he still saw the need for Adam to relate to horizontally to somebody similar to him, made in a similar image, but being female. And that in itself is a study for us. What is the difference between a man and a woman? And how much we do enjoy the commonality and the differences, how much we enjoy the fact that as a man, a woman is a woman and that she is different but the same, you know. She is like, we're in the same race, right? Same species we are. You know, there's a lot to be said about it. Yeah. So this is normal. This is the design of God. We are talking about in these institutions the design of God. This is the plan of God, not the abnormality that we see today and the attack on them by the devil and the evil world that we live in, but to rather go to the beginning in the Bible and to see what was the original design, what he really intended, what man really needed, and what the woman needs. You know, like the woman... not inferior, but of the similar, not born made first, but made second, and the Adam being the head of the family, the man being the initiator, the man being the one that loves the woman, and then benefiting much from her. Mm.
And isn't it interesting, just to bring this point up at this stage of our conversation, that the marriage, as God created it, was not an end in and of itself. It was a provision,
yes,
to an end. In other words, God saw, pardon me, that man was alone, so he created for him a helpmate. But yes, the purpose of creating the helpmate is so that both of them together in that relationship would pursue God, walk with God, have fellowship with God.
And have a family.
And have a family.
Yes.
And you know, be fruitful and multiply. So that's, you can see God's provision there, because I think when even believers, when they think marriage is all in all, it's everything, it's the end. But it's just a means to an end, isn't it?
Yes.
Because it's a provision in time. Jesus himself said, you won't have that need in eternity.
Yes.
It's kind of fascinating to think about.
Yes. Well, it looks like the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. So when you have a material family, Adam and Eve are physically, creatures made in God's image. And with the potential to become more like God, that you could use the word to be gods, and to be elevated from human beings to a deified or glorified state, which is where it's going. So marriage is, not an end in itself, but just an element in the process where God is wanting to bring heaven on the earth, and he does it through a family. Mm. You know, he does it through people. Human beings are the ones that populate this planet, and not like other planets that are really governed by angels. But and the Elohim that we read about in the Bible. So we have the rest of the universe, and then we have the uniqueness of this planet. And not to get into, like, are there other inhabitable planets and so on and so forth. I don't think that's not the interest in our program. Our interest is, like, this planet is unique. It's inhabited by human beings. Marriage is an institution designed of God for a particular purpose, to bring into the world the kingdom of God. The reality was that God would have family, not only family in heaven, which he had before he made the world. He made the angels and the Elohim. So they are in heaven, but he wanted human beings to be in that family also. Mm. So he took us very low level. In one hand, we are like not animals. We are made in the image of God. We are human beings, and we are, therefore, we are also very uniquely different from animals. Mm. But still of the dust, and yet his plan is to see us glorified.
Amen. And you can see the assault on marriage today, unlike we have ever seen in the history of our culture. There was a time, maybe a generation, maybe 50 years ago, when statistics that came forth about marriage and divorce in the unbelieving world, they were rather high. But the statistics, those same statistics in the church, were much lower. But now there doesn't seem to be any difference. The same percentage of divorce is happening among Christian families and Christian marriages as there were in the world. So clearly, this particular institution is under an assault.
Yes.
Like never before.
Yes. You know, if you think about the strategy of the devil, you have the cosmetic elements, like the things on the outside that are further away from the primary things. But we in our program today are talking about very fundamental design issues. One time I had this illustration and when I was teaching, and it was like using a Mercedes-Benz as an anchor for a ship. So you could take a brand new Mercedes-Benz, punch a window, a hole through the window, put a chain through the car, and hang it from the side of one of these big tankers, and drop that Mercedes into the ocean to anchor the ship, you know. Probably it would work, you know, like maybe a 4,000 or 5,000 pound car that's now down at the bottom of the sea. But is that what it's made for? Mm. Was a Mercedes made to be in the anchor of a ship? No, we would say that's an adulterated use. Mm. That's like prostituting its original design. So you go to the manual of the Mercedes and you read what the car is designed for, and all of those amazingly fancy, you know, whistles and specific gadgets that make it a very special car. So I feel that the devil, his strategy is similar to this. That's to take the human race and adulterate it, make it less than what it's designed for, destroy, laugh at God in the face, say, look at what you have done. This is a shame on you. Look at you, what you have done. The human race is, you know. Cursing you to your face, you know.
Wow.
And this evil that is in the world is from me. I am the devil, and I am able to make people look like fools. I'm able to pervert their original design. They are in prison. They don't have any choices. They are nothing. I brought them down to shame and guilt and fear. And this is who, this is what you have made.
Wow.
This is what you have done.
The accusation being brought before God.
Yeah.
You're to blame for the ruin of the human race.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Incredible. Yeah. And of course, the marriage and whether or not that marriage ends in failure or if it is blessed by God and is it serves the original intent and purpose of which God created it has an impact on the family.
Yes.
And you know, you mentioned last night a great message, and friends, you can listen to that message. You go to the ggwo.org, and you can listen to this past Wednesday night's message. But the family, you mentioned, you touched upon a number of things that make the family work, such as love, obviously, forgiveness, patience, grace, all of these things, and so much more. That's how a family operates. And without those things, which are all they come from a divine nature, and if you get them from God, it's not that you're going to have an impeccable or a perfect family, but your family is going to remain intact. It's going to fulfill that original purpose for which it was created.
Yes, yes, and we use that proverb where the dinner with herbs, where love is better than a stalled ox where there is hatred. And after the message, one of our brothers from India shared in the rap, and he said that he has seen a mother with a bowl of rice feed her five children, and there's love there, and all they have is that bowl of rice. And the kids are happy because mother loves them, and they have something, you know. So I would rather have a small fare, a light dinner, whatever I got, as long as there is love there. And then Jesus at the shore of Galilee made a breakfast, a light breakfast, fish and bread. And then, but Peter wanted to be there. He swam, you know, from the boat to be there because you know, Peter wasn't swimming there to go get the breakfast. He was swimming there to be with Jesus.
Yeah, right? Amen.
Yeah, so I think it relates in many ways, and family life is one of them. And, you know, my family may not be the best, and we might be a little bit, like, struggling with different things, but there's love.
Yeah.
And that's what will make it work.
Yeah, and that was such a great message last night because you might just have a little, you might not have a lot, you might not have an abundance, but if there is that love and if there's forgiveness and if mercy is real and grace is experienced and shared among family members, you know, you're gonna make it.
How did you understand the part about the stalled ox?
Well, you could have everything. You could have an abundance of what this world offers you, but if it lacks the love, that's like the lubricant of life.
Yes,
and inevitably, without the lubricant, you know, the engine of your soul seizes.
it
doesn't operate the way it was intended to operate, and you could see that. I think that the clarification between those two groups of people was made so clear that you walked away from that message and you said, I would rather have, you know, a dinner with herbs with love than, you know, to have an abundance.
An expo.
Yeah.
Expo. How about you're with the NBA up in New York, a big, big stadium, a lot of ego.
Yeah.
A lot of money, a lot of fanfare, a lot of, and, but is there jealousy? Is there strife? Is there arrogance? Is there, you know, is there love? And you could say, maybe not. I'm not really seeing it. I'm not getting, I'm not feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a lot of money and power and everything, but is there love?
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. And love, as you brought out last night of the message, that's what endures. Yeah. Everything else, you know, life with the stalled ox, with hatred, that all fades away.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that you could go back to a couple of messages that were shared earlier before last night's message about that which the world offers us, it fades away. I mean, that really spoke to my heart. You know, you don't want to have your mind stayed and focused on that which is fading away, but rather that which is undefiled, that is reserved in heaven, and that does not fade away. Yeah. And that's our relationship with God, our relationship with the God of love and the kinds of things that God provides for us.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Beautiful.
And then, you know, we can wrap things up here, Pastor, with the final divine institution, which is the church. How important is a local church? I mean, some people seem to get it, understand it, and as far as they're concerned, there will not be any prior appointments or any, you know, within reason, of course, no complications when it comes to church. I'm going to be there because God's going to have something for me that's going to sustain my soul and keep me in the realm of these institutions that we're talking about functioning in a very profitable way for my life.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, you know, maybe people think that the church is just another social function that is thrown together by people that believe the same way, and that's the church. But actually, it's a lot more than that. It's not starting with us and that we are wanting to gather and worship together. It's deeper. It's the body of Christ. It's the plan of God. The gates of hell it'll never cease in human history. It'll never, and there's been many human institutions designed to destroy it. There's been many attempts by the evil in the world to like destroy the church, but it can't happen because it's just the plan of God, and it's his will that the church would exist and be what it is. And we have, of course, benefited a lot from it and believe and know what it is. But I don't think everybody knows what it is. So it's like take it or leave it. It's like joining the local softball team, you know. Honey, I think I'm going to play softball this summer. Oh, really? Can you put it in your schedule? Yeah, I think so. I want to play softball. This is not an institution that comes from people. Mm-hmm. This is something entirely different. You can say all the other things on the social spectrum, soccer leagues and athletic programs and music and chess clubs and newspapers and schools of education and knowledge and insight, all of these things, they are not in the same plane as the church. The church is totally other. It's totally something different. And this is ordained of God, just like free will, and so is marriage, and so is family. So the church is a design of God for the well-being of people.
Yeah. I mean, we don't neglect feeding our physical bodies. We set aside specific times to eat. Well, couldn't the same thing be said about our souls? We need to set aside those times where our souls are fed. Mm. And that's what happens when we come to church. Our souls are being fed, nourished. Our faith is being strengthened to face the challenges, the inevitable challenges of life.
Yes.
We get our answers at church. We get our doubts cleared up. We go to church. We get our questions are posed, and then we find answers from God through his promises, through the proclamation of his word.
Let's say some verses about that. Forsake not the assembly, as the manner of some is. So there's free will, and you could say, I'm going to the church, and I'm not going to forsake the assembly. I think the church will help me because hearing helps me in my faith. Faith comes from hearing. Also, just like in a marriage, a husband and wife, and they connect in marriage, and they have a unique relationship. So they need relationships with others because we are not islands on our own. We are in a community ordained of God for the well-being of ourselves to become what God has intended us to be.
Mm. What about the mutual edification that you can experience by gathering together in a local assembly? The encouragement, the courage that's poured into your heart just by being with people that are like-minded.
Well, we could say the church is like marriage is like a mini church in a way. You know, marriage is God and a man and a woman. The three of them, and there is love, there is communication, there is forgiveness, there is creativity, there is direction, there's purpose. So the church has Christ as the head, and then we are members of each other, and we have direction, we have love, we have encouragement, we have forgiveness. And you can live without it, but then you're going to go to look for companionship in other places. And it might not be the best thing for you. Well, actually, we know that it may be a substitute for what you really need. You need a church fellowship. So in our church here, we're very happy that after 1 hour service or so, the service ends and like people don't leave.
Yeah.
They it's almost half over.
Right.
The formal or the actual organized part of the service ends, and then there's another half.
The fellowship just begins.
Yeah, I mean, there are people that are here 2 hours after.
It's incredible.
Without, no, we never say stay here.
Right.
We, you know, it's not planned. Mm. It's spontaneous and interaction is happening. People are talking about God sometimes. They're talking about love. About their friends, their family. Maybe somebody bought a car or a house or deals that are going on in some way or lawn chairs or what's on sale at the grocery store. These are just everyday things, but they take on a sparkle when there's love.
That's right.
When there's love, our everyday life, the NFL, the Super Bowl will be coming up, and I don't know how much talk there was last night. Yeah. It's not primary, but it is part of life that we enjoy. It's sacred.
Yeah.
It's part of life because we have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. You know, lots of people go to the restaurant, the club, or the bar room, and they have that same kind of communication with each other. But it can have some pretty devastating effects if that's where you find your friendships or fellowships, in a bar room.
Yeah.
But we have it in the church, and we enjoy it thoroughly. And it's amazing how all of these divine institutions are interrelated. In other words, you start by exercising your free will. You make a decision, I'm going to church, and that impacts your marriage in a very positive way. That impacts your family, because if you're going, you want to bring your family with you. And hopefully, you know, you're going to a church where the whole family benefits by being a church, whether they're children in a nursery or a Sunday school program or a Bible class for the children or the young people. Everybody benefits.
Yes.
So these institutions are all interrelated and so important.
And, you know, as the world is getting louder and louder in telling you what once was normal is now there's a new normal, then all the more to have be rooted and grounded in a community of love and faith and truth and define your world in from God's mind. Don't let the world, as we talk about it, the world outside of Christ, the world crucified Christ. The world is not of God.
That's right.
Not having the Spirit of God. But don't misunderstand me. I love the planet. I love the planet in the sense of God made it, and there's a purpose here, and life is a given as a gift to us. But the world as a spiritual entity is against Christ, is against these, is wanting to pervert these traditions and say they're rooted in racism or pride, or and it all gets very confusing. So we need a clear sound, and let's go to our Bible and the Holy Spirit to teach us, and then get grounded in and be in a community with your children, because your children need it. You don't let them just be on their own. They will come home with strange ideas, and those ideas may get like really engrafted into their mindset and be a totally different type of person than you thought they would be.
That's right.
You assume they could figure it out, but they need help.
That's right.
They need parenting. They need a youth group. They need good people around them. And by the way, sometimes people send their kids to good schools because they want their kids around better people or people that are, but that's not a guarantee either. You know, just because you have a good school doesn't mean you're going to have good people.
That's right.
And there's no way that I, you know, personally, my wife and I would ever want to raise a family without a good, healthy, Spirit-filled church.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, you've been functioning within the kingdom of God now for decades. And, you know, together, the both of us, maybe we could, or maybe close to 100 years, we've been living this way. I don't have any regrets. I'm sure you don't either.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly content and very excited about continually living this way right up until we go home to be with the Lord.
Yes.
It's a great life.
Yes,
it is. We haven't been robbed or ripped off by living this way.
No, it's been an adventure, too. There's a lot could be said about what you just said. No regrets. Actually, contrary to that, no dullness. More like Peter walking on water and then going, oh, wow, I don't belong out here. What's going on? I'm walking on water to Jesus, and he's out there on the water, and he's like instead saying, like, not regret. He's not regretting it. He's saying, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm out here. This cannot happen. This cannot be real. This is not true. And he sank. And then Jesus pulled him up out of the water, and they went back to the boat, and he put him safely on the boat. And there's no follow-up in the story, but I could imagine Peter's kind of stunned, sitting on the boat and just saying to the other disciples, did you guys see that?
Yeah.
Would they say, did you regret that? He's like, no, this is totally other.
Wow. Yeah. Peter could say, I walked on water, not for very long.
Yeah.
And others might just say, well, that's good because, you know, we never get out of the boat.
Yeah.
And it's better to get out of the boat and take that chance than to stay, you know, in the boat.
Yeah.
What you think is a safe place.
You okay? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Well, we've reached the end of our broadcast, but thanks, Pastor Schaller. Great thoughts today on these divine institutions, and we hope it's been helpful to you, friends. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. We hope you'll join us then.